We'll start the show in just a minute, but first, a word from our premier brand sponsor, Casago, and co-sponsors Guest Ranger and Good Neighbor Tech.
Casago's founder, Steve Schwab, has been quoted as saying, "You can only be a local in one place." This simple yet profound statement is the basis of Casago's franchise model, which allows locally owned vacation rental management companies the ability to compete at a national level by leveraging the systems, software, and support, the buying power of a much larger organization.
As a Casago franchisee, you have the freedom to run your business with the support of a community of like-minded professionals while leveraging the economies of scale and buying power to increase profitability and reduce operating costs.
Guest Ranger is the premier guest screening and chargeback protection solution. Leveraging AI, their tool effectively detects fraudulent activity, fake IDs, and underage guests, while also performing comprehensive dynamic background checks. With Guest Ranger, businesses can rest assured that their customers are safe and secure.
Good Neighbor Tech allows you to manage your properties remotely and intelligently, protecting your owners and your guests. Their smart Wi-Fi locks allow you to provide temporary access to home and garage from anywhere and keep track of when guests and service providers are in the property. Good Neighbor Tech provides the ability for you to collect email addresses from all guests staying in a property, not just the one who booked the reservation. Every guest who connects to the internet will see your branded welcome page and be prompted to provide their email address in order to connect to the Wi-Fi.
Visit casago.com/franchise, guestranger.com, and goodneighbortech.com for more information.
Welcome to Alex and Annie, the real women of vacation rentals. With more than 35 years combined industry experience, Alex Huesner and Annie Holcomb have teamed up to connect the dots between inspiration and opportunity, seeking to find the one story, idea, strategy, or decision that led to their guests' big aha moment. Join them as they highlight the real stories behind the people and brands that have built vacation rentals into the $100 billion industry it is today. And now, it's time to get real and have some fun with your hosts, Alex and Annie.
Welcome to Alex and Annie, the Real Women of Vacation Rentals. I'm Alex.
And I'm Annie.
And we are joined today with Andy Newman, who is the president and CEO of Newman Hospitality Group. Andy, it's great to see you today.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Absolutely.
We're really excited to finally get to talk to you.
Yeah. It's a little bit of a rocky start, but we finally got this organized. We're just excited to have a conversation with you today and learn about Newman Hospitality and just how much you guys have grown. I think you've got a really great operation down there in South Florida, and then also it's Charlottesville, right, in Virginia?
We're in Northern Virginia, in Sterling.
Northern Virginia. Okay, great.
And we're in Indiana.
And Indiana. Okay, wow.
Oh.
That's such a mix of locations.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. And it's a mix both in geography, but also in culture and economy and seasonality. And it sounds, and it can be very inefficient to have three different operations, but it's actually really good when it comes to risk management. And we're very happy to see that because it means that we can hire and retain people year round. We're not a seasonal operation that needs to ramp up for specific season and then lay people off and pray that you can hire them back the next season. So we can keep people year round, but also we work a lot with investors. And we have been saying from the get-go, because I came from banking where risk management was key, especially with my type of clients, we have been saying from the get-go that you can't just have everything in one block and one building because your risks are very concentrated. It's like in the stock market, if you own all technology stocks or all small stocks, you can take a big hit. What we've done by doing this is that we started first in Florida. I don't know if you realize, but if you just separate two homes in Florida by about 50 to 70 miles, you reduce your climate risk by half. Yeah. Yeah. And if you remember some of these storms, especially Dan coming from Panama City, if you remember some of these storms, they're headed and you're not sure where they're going to hit. But at the end, they hit really hard. They punch one area really hard. And there's other areas 20 to 50 miles apart where they actually benefit because the people that were vacationing in the area that got hit have to go somewhere else. And then there's all the people that have to come in for rebuilding and reconstruction, and they need a place to stay. So we had a recent client who wanted to put everything in Naples. And I said to her, let's just put one home in Fort Lauderdale. And she was happy we did that because that hurricane came, it hit, her property was really affected in Naples, and yet Fort Lauderdale did very well. And then, so when we take it a step further and separate it, not just in the state, but out of state, then it's interesting because you're mixing up the seasons. May really plummets in South Florida, but it does really well in Indiana because we've got the Kentucky Derby. We've got the Indy 500, and Indiana's pretty strong throughout the summer and into the fall when South Florida is not great at all. The ADRs just plummet. You can have decent occupancy, but the ADRs just get shattered.
So I want to really dive into that, just having lived in Florida, and I've been in management companies where we do that as well. But I'd really like to hear your backstory. Like, how did you get, because you said you were in finance, like how did you get from finance into the vacation rental business?
It was very gradual. I left the big banks. I started my own firm, and I still needed to travel to places like Zurich, New York City, big cities with big pricey hotel costs. So I started doing a little bit of research, and I can be a bit adventuresome. I used to love to travel with a backpack. Did that. I did a junior year abroad. So the whole thing about international travel and culture is part of who I am. So I discovered this little known company back then in 2012, Airbnb. And I started traveling and staying in Airbnbs. In Zurich, I stayed in a yoga studio that would converge into a place to live. So you'd wake up in the morning and do yoga.
Wow.
We're going to work at 10.
Wow. That's a long time ago, too.
Yeah, long time ago. I was intrigued. I started as a traveler. I started tasting the product. And then I liked it so much that I started to host for friends and family for free. And I did that for about a year and a half. And once I felt that I had learned, I was still running my money management business. I also had a coaching business. And I said, okay, let's do this as well. Let's make this official. Let's hire. And I discovered Verma. I discovered VRMA. And I said, interesting. Airbnb is only one angle, but these other people have been around much, much longer. They know a lot more about hospitality. One thing might be an interesting software, but another thing is decades of hospitality work. So I said, let me put one foot there. So that's how it all started. I realized that I needed to have infrastructure, that even though I had five or six homes, I needed the PMS and I needed to start going to conferences. That's how it started, really, very slowly. And it's crazy because my finance business was international. So a lot of my background and my clients were international. So within 6 months, I had houses spread all over the planet. I was in Morocco. I was in south of France. Now, that was completely inefficient.
Yeah. But probably a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah. Let me tell you, when you get a call from a British tourist wanting to go to your house, asking me if his 18-year-old daughter is going to be safe and asking me about what are the rules on alcohol? Yeah. It's definitely exciting. You learn a lot. And yeah, you learn about the cultures of each place and how different. France is still stuck in the 7-day model in a lot of parts of France, Saturday to Saturday. So when I started to have these reservations on a Thursday, the owner called me up. Andy, what are you doing? What do you mean? What am I doing?
Yeah.
Reserving your home. No, that doesn't work here. You don't do Thursdays.
Yeah. that's such a good point. And I've definitely been through that in my market here in the Myrtle Beach area, that I think it was probably about maybe not that long ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, that companies started opening up to not just doing Saturday to Saturday, but there are still a lot that is all that they still do. But as long as we could keep them between the two Saturdays, that's the main thing. So you don't break up 2 weeks. And obviously when you do that, you're able to really revenue manage a lot more revenue for your homeowners doing it that way. Yeah, it's interesting to see how much has changed and that just traditional model is just not what it was.
Yeah.
So tell us, how many properties do you manage, Andy?
We have about 130 right now. So we've been in a program. We were very focused on growing, and then we became really focused on getting rid of properties, on not having. I decided that there were three basic qualifying elements. One was the property itself. Second was the location, and third was the owner. So when those three were bad, we had to get rid of them. And in the beginning, you're all afraid of getting rid of an owner. There's always this fear that, oh, you're losing out on something and you're never going to get it back and you want to cling. But once we started, it was fantastic because as in most businesses, the bad business, the bad relationships take on a lot of bandwidth and they really diminish your creativity, your enthusiasm. It's more than just revenue. So we started on that bandwagon and just started doing it more and more. And it's been great. It really has. And I think when you do it for the right reasons, then you start to get really clear on what you want to bring in and how you communicate to new clients. And you get a lot more confident about it as well. In other words, let's see if we're a good match. I'm not sure if we're going to end up working together. This is what we need to see happen for you to be able to work with us. And it's that psychology also is crazy. It works when you don't sound too excited about bringing someone in. They get very excited about joining you.
Yeah, exactly.
It's almost like dating.
The conversations of it's not you, it's me situation. I think with owners, in my experience, though, too, when you do allow some of those, and I always use the term prickly, but you allow those people to hang around, It spoils everything because other owners start to feel like if they're going to let that guy hang around, then they really maybe are not going to do the best service for me. And so it having a good intention around the way you manage your owners has so many great downstream effects, not only for your team, but for your ability to grow and be respected and trusted within that owner space.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. It's even for the owners, for the good owners, because the bad owners, they take up all your resources that you're longer giving to your good owners. I agree 100%. So we're focused on those two things, on growing our business. And we grow our business. We do a lot through real estate, meaning we have relationships with realtors. I was very shy about that at the beginning because at Verma conferences, everybody said, oh, you don't want to be seen that you're competing with realtors because they'll I talk to you or do business with you. So I believe. And then I was walking on eggshells for a while. And then finally I said, enough of this. And I never lost really a realtor relationship because you know, I was a realtor. I make it very clear that my real estate business is strictly connected to short-term rentals. We don't seek out listings and we give realtors a lot of value. We give them underwriting services. And we help them selecting, we talk to them about regulations, we will hop on calls with their clients. So we help enhance their team and they give us guests and they give us management. And we're also starting to get very structured about compensating realtors as well for those referrals. And they really like that. That always makes a difference. So that's a big part. Decorators, we got a lot of business from decorators. And we gave them a lot of business too. Mutual referrals, no money exchange, just referrals back and forth. So that was also really good. And I will say another one. In our industry, it bugs me a little bit. There's this big Airbnb bashing thing. But I have to say, we've gotten a lot of owners that have found us on Airbnb.
Yeah.
And it's actually more sophisticated owners because they'll look at the area where they just bought a house. Say, okay, let me see who's in that area. Let me see who, a big person or, and let, yeah. And then they go in to read the reviews and if very enthusiastic reviews, they'll call you. They'll look, they'll know how to find it. And so Airbnb has been a source of not only guests, but a source of inventory. And I always say that my goal is never to eliminate Airbnb, maybe to just balance it out, reduce the dependence, maybe get it down to 40-50%.
What percentage is it now?
Right now, it's about, what's interesting, it's about 60% of revenues, but maybe 75% of number of reservations.
Yeah. So, and I think the locations that you're in, that makes more sense that you would be more Airbnb versus VRBO. But what percentage would you say VRBO is?
Verbo is probably, if I look at, and I think it's more accurate to look at it in terms of revenues rather than number of reservations.
So yeah,
I look at sure. Number of revenues, I would say it's about 25 to 30%.
Okay.
And the surprise recently has been Marriott Homes and Villas.
Wasn't that good?
Yeah.
We started talking to them. It took a long time to finally make it work between the channel manager and all the complexities involved and tying up. But once we did, it's been fantastic.
Oh, awesome. Great.
Yeah. I would say it's, I don't know, 70% of what we do with Vrbo, which I didn't expect.
Yeah.
Nice to have. Now, I tried Hopper as well. And it's a few reservations here and there. And that's it. Yeah.
I think their model appeals more to the European clientele and probably not too much to the markets that you have. But yes, as an employee of Homes and Villas, I am very excited to hear that you're having good success with that. That's great. I know your inventory, I took a look at it. You've got great stuff. It's in markets that our Bonvoy members desire. So it's perfect. So
that's been the other interesting.
Continue to grow.
Yeah, that's been the other interesting things is that they've come in all over. If I had to pick one area where they seem to be strongest, it's in Naples. But they're coming in virtually all areas.
That's great. And I'm sure, are you using that as a way to get owners and also just to show owners that you're part of this program? I know when I was previously at Condo World and we had been looking into doing HVMI before I left, that was something that I was very interested in for that reason alone of you can't just, not everybody can be on that website. Like you have to go through a professional manager. But have you used that in your marketing for owners?
Absolutely. I'm all over that.
That's great.
I'm going to write about it. I'm going to write about it in my newsletter. But I've had conversations with owners and I really keep it as an important announcement.
You've been chosen.
Yes. Here's a speech. I tell them, look, anybody can be on Vrbo and Airbnb. And all it takes is if you do bad things, you'll eventually get kicked out. But anybody can get on. And it's not the same thing with Marriott Homes and Villas. There's a vetting process, but also the guests really feel confident about the home, unlike Airbnb and Vrbo. They really feel that if it has the Marriott seal, they don't need to ask any questions. There's not that much exchange before booking. They just come in and book. So for us, it's very efficient. They book quickly. We don't have issues with, like we do in Vrbo, with potential chargebacks because Marriott is the merchant on record. And also, it's a powerful brand. It's a very mature and powerful brand and stable brand, unlike Airbnb. It's a newer, let's call it more volatile brand. So it's an interesting demographic. So I really do make a big point about it to my owners.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
That is good to hear. Really good to hear. And I'd love to talk to you more about it off recording. Just one of the things we want to do is really show the power of being partnered with the brand and what that can mean to you as a rental manager. Like, how do you grow and how do you make your owners and your guests both feel that you're a trusted, valuable asset to them in the process?
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's key because adding Marriott, just if your occupancy can go up 5 to 10%, your ADRs, it can have a pretty dramatic impact on profits.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Having that right mix of channels and ones that want to work with you and are able to really look at it from that perspective of being partners, I think that's everything. And whether it's a regional player or somebody like a Marriott, when you've just got that same mentality, that's a win situation there. Sometimes it's not about putting your properties everywhere in the world, but it's about putting them in the right places with the right companies that are going to really look out for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point because some property managers boast about having, I don't know, 20 and 30 and 40. The reality is that can be a major distraction.
Yeah.
Really, to get maybe one reservation from some obscure manager is really not worth it. I think 90%, 95% of your reservations are going to come from two to four or five major companies, OTAs, and that's what you should focus on.
Yeah. Now, your background, you said you also were in your coach. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. When I was in banking, I went into a coaching program that was very focused on how do you grow your business and at the same time continue to have better life, more life balance, travel more, take more time off. And that was one of the key elements of that program. And it really transformed my business. And soon I had the reputation at the bank of being the biggest producer who, quote unquote, worked the least.
Nice.
Like the 4-hour work week book.
Yeah. You proved out you don't have to work all, you work smarter, not harder, right?
You work smarter. It's like the Tim Ferriss. The 4-hour work week was one of the early works that advocated for something like this. And now there's just a whole abundance, volumes of evidence that points to this, that we really, and you know what? My business, talk about, why didn't I say this before? But my biggest source of growth, you know what has been? The beach, kiteboarding.
Oh, really?
And it's great because I'll go kiteboarding. I'll go on a trip to Brazil, a kite safari. And from that trip, I got two clients that led another 6 really important clients. So that today, roughly 30% of my revenues come from kiteboarding. And the beauty of it is, it's not like the golfing mentality. I'm going to play golf so I can find a client. No, you're like, I'm going to go kiteboarding because I love it. And because the way I am when I'm doing it and the freedom, and it's just like you're a kid again and you're on this board in the water and you pull the bar and you go off in the air, hoping to come back down again in one piece. But when you're doing that, you're more authentic. You're in a different space and you connect with people that have that same interest in a very different way. And so the relationships come easily and without effort and without this kind of almost manipulative networking approach. Not that BNI might not be a good thing, but you know where I'm going with this. It's just, let's call it very soft networking, very playful, non-manipulative networking. So yeah, going back to coaching, that was one of the big things. And then I realized in that coaching program that it was really cool to learn all these things about how to be more productive. I like the life element too. So I started to get training for life coaching. And then I produced my own program where I combined business and life coaching. And I started coaching people in the finance and in different fields. And I did that for about 7 years until the business really took off. And I just began I sold my money management business, closed my coaching business, and just focused on short-term rentals.
Oh, wow. Okay. Interesting. That's a very cool background. And I'm sure your team appreciates having a leader that has that experience. That really has got to say a lot for the culture that you've built.
Yeah. I would say it's interesting how we say certain things and life just surprises you. When I was working in banking, I had one assistant. And I would always say, it's complicated enough getting along with one assistant. I will never, ever hire people. That's got to be the worst thing in the world to hire people. Imagine multiplying the issues, the little issues that I might have with her by 10 or 20. Here I am. Now I have 25 people and I love working with the people and hiring people. So yeah, things really changed. And the coaching really did help in dealing with all the issues that we have in hospitality. And how to just be non-reactive.
Yeah, that's important. Can we go back to what we started in the beginning? So your diversification of being in multi-markets. And I have worked for several management companies, actually started a management company with my husband and some friends. And one of the things that we were really keen on was just that, being able to balance so the calendars weren't so heavy in the summer and we were just dying in the winter. We're just trying to figure things out. So we partnered with some mountain markets, and not necessarily, we didn't manage the part, we just partnered to do like some cooperative marketing. But I think you touch on it from a different perspective. It's not as much about, it is balancing the calendars out, but it's also reducing your risk because there are areas of the country that are prone to like California wildfires, mountainous wildfires. We've got hurricanes aplenty in Florida and someplace like Sterling, Virginia. I grew up in Arlington, Virginia, so very familiar with Sterling. That is completely off the beaten path in terms of a vacation rental market. But my sister lives in Reston. There's people go to DC and love to stay in those suburban areas. So what was the catalyst for you to do this? And again, how Sterling? I'm really curious about that.
Yeah, both places were really accidental. They involved no analysis, no air DNAs, just a sweet coincidence. A niece lived in Sterling. She called me and she says, Uncle Andy, I'm selling my townhome. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Give me two
rent
months.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. Give me 2 months. I'll rent it for you. Let's see how it works. And she was shocked. She was like, what? Somebody's going to want to short-term rent my place? And we tried it and it did really well. And this was 2016 or so. And it was a very commoditized product. We're talking cookie cutter townhomes. And I thought, there's nothing special about this townhome. If I buy in the same area, same type of townhome, I should have the same results. And we did that. And we went from basically zero to 20 fairly quickly. We brought investors in. We would actually do the real estate. We got registered in Virginia for real estate. We buy the properties, decorate them, and then manage them. And you're right. Yeah, it's very, we get corporate. We get all the cloud people that are established now in the Sterling area. Cloud computing is huge. And the Microsofts, they all have their cloud computing. And so we have corporate people. There's a very old stock of housing. So fires are like commonplace in Virginia. There's always a short circuit. There's always something. So we get a lot of the insurance as well. And there's a lot of foreign activity. There's a lot of military, a lot of diplomats coming back from Europe that need a place. So a lot with government. So just being in the DC and the Beltway influence, if you're within minutes of DC, you're going to get action. You're going to get action. So what I say to my investors is I like to see 4 to 6 pillars of demand. And tourism is only one. So we have a whole industry, our industry that is focused on only one pillar, tourism. So tourism is one, but then you have military, government, colleges, you have hospitals.
Yeah.
Right? Traveling nurses are huge. Yeah. Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
So that's what I liked about Virginia. And yeah, you believe it or not, you do have some tourism. You do have some tourism but it's a smaller percent of our business.
Yeah.
But still, what's interesting though, is that business picks up in the summer when our Florida business goes way, way down. So
yeah,
we're still more, obviously much bigger in South Florida, but instead of our revenues going down 70%, they go down 25%. So yeah. That's sweet.
Balance. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Quite a bit more balanced.
Yeah. Talk to us a little bit about regulations, because I believe when I first met you earlier this year at the IMN conference, you were on stage and you were sharing some of the difficult things that you've gone through in these markets. I know for sure in Virginia, you've run into some issues, but give us an update on what that looks like for you now.
Yeah, we've had issues all over and what's changed is we no longer live in fear and all the worst things have already happened to us. So what else can we experience? We've already been shut down multiple times. So again, going back to my stock market comparison, if you make a bad pick and you buy a bad company where the CEO is an Enron guy, I don't know if you remember the company that blew up. Here, if we make a mistake, it's oops, you can't do short-term rental anymore. It's not like it disappears. The property's still there. The value's still there. You just need to learn to pivot. So I no longer hire anything. I just say, look, this is what happened. And these are options. You can go under the radar. Probably not a good idea. I don't recommend it because they'll still catch you and shut you down and probably fine you. Or you can pivot and sell it and rent it long-term. Or number three, we can sell and buy it another place. So if you put it in perspective, the worst thing that can happen is that you need to change and do something and reinvent yourself. That's not too bad. That's not too bad compared to other industries. And because we have these multiple locations, we always have a place that is working. So for example, Virginia, we love Virginia, but the HOA has been trying to shut us down now for 2 years, and they're probably going to be able to do it. So we're going to have 20 units there that will probably need to pivot seriously and quickly. We take that as a call to action, something that energizes us. We say, okay, we need to come up with 20 units because we might lose these 20. We know we don't 100% lose them. They may go long-term, but even if we lose them, we get a nice consolation prize, and it's called a real estate transaction.
Or two.
Yeah. Because we might sell them a lot.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. You've got the right mindset on this for sure. I think your positivity is infectious. So, and that's so important because really we see this all over the country that people are dealing with these issues and it is frustrating, but you have to know that whatever's going to happen, you're going to figure something out and it might pivot and you might go in a different direction with it. But there's some things that we have control over and some things we don't. And I think at the end of the day, it's about realizing what things you can control and not worry about the things that you can't.
That's so true. Yeah. And that's why the meetings that I always avoid nowadays when I go to a VRMA are the advocacy meetings because it's everybody's shaking. Everybody's anxiety. And it's the same stories. So rather than, okay, how do we operate in a business where we're always going to have this regulatory challenge? What do we do? And just like I told you about climate, I can't really divert the hurricanes coming into Florida.
Yep.
Yeah.
But I can separate those properties.
Yeah.
And I can do certain things. So I think that's really what I've applied. And the great thing is it's just not fun to live in fear and anxiety.
No,
it's not.
Well, it sounds like you should do a session at Verma or at a conference coaching people to have this flexible mindset in business.
Yeah, and mindset.
And I think one thing they always say is that you can't necessarily control what's happening to you, but you can control how you respond to what's happening to you. Yes. And if you have a plan or you at least have something in your mind that you can go to, and like you said, pivot instead of just like this mental block of I'm done. And then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. You need to add that onto your coaching. I'm going to tell you that right now. I think that would be tremendous.
Good idea.
We've encountered so many people in our business that we talk to all the time that are just like, they just don't know. We were at a conference in Reno. It was the Northwest Vacation Rental Professionals for their conference and talked to a lady. And I want to say she was in Oregon, but it might have been Washington. And they were having some really wacky regulation things coming down. But it was just like, I mean, she was very, it had just consumed her like from the inside and it was eating her up. You could tell it was just eating her alive because she didn't know what she was going to do.
Yeah.
And I think that there's so many people that just need that hope that there are options out there. It may not be a permanent one. It could just be a temporary until everything passes. But if you have something to pivot to, it's not going to be, it's not the end of the world, not the doom and gloom that other people can paint it out to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even as boring as it may sound and as conventional as it may sound, managing long-term rentals for us nowadays, that has to be a viable option.
Yeah.
And that does, as it is boring, but it's also quite stable.
I was going to say the stability is there for sure.
Yeah, pros and cons for sure.
Yeah.
Just like you said earlier when you were in the finance world, like the more diversified you can be as a business person within either one industry and one type of business or in multiple businesses, I think you're protecting your future that way much better. Awesome. So tell us a little bit about your team. I want to dig a little bit deeper on that. How many people do you have that run the operation with you?
Yeah, I love talking about them. We have 22 people. And yes, we were invited to the graduation of the daughter of my cleaners. Okay. And this is a big story because they came from Venezuela 4 or 5 years ago, highly educated. She specialized in human relations and PR. He's a lawyer. And they came with nothing, because they were fleeing political violence. And they arrived in the States, and I was lucky enough to meet him. He did some handyman work. And I said, does your wife do something, or would she like to work? Because I needed cleaners. And she said, yeah, she might be able to clean. Okay, let's try her out. That was about 5 years ago. And today, and just to tell you, when we first started, one day he calls me and he says, Mr. Andy, the light bulb is, we need to change the light bulb. I said, okay, Alex, buy a light bulb. Mr. Andy, I need the money. He didn't have the money to buy a light bulb. And we were at the graduation of his second daughter, civil engineer, hired by NASA. And so it's so beautiful. And that's what we have done. We have really, so we have our employees, but we also have our trusted vendors, people that like them, that we really gave them, and they grew with us, and we gave them all the business, right? Didn't care that we were leaving money on the table, but we were also leaving a lot of problems on the table because we don't, you can't show up today to clean. That's no longer my problem. But anyway, they love us. They trust us. And we have several teams just like that. In Naples, lady that's been in the neighborhood for 30 years, the same neighborhood where we operate. She greets the owners. She greets the guests. And then the people that work with us, we have, they're very much part of the neighborhood. They grew up with my son and daughter here in Weston, Florida, where we had our home. And we believe what really our mantra has been a home for everyone. And we mean that because the home has to be first and foremost home for our employees. Because if our employees feel safe, they feel cared for, they feel that there's stability, that they can grow and master what they do, they're going to put out a lot more. And they do. And so I think that's been very key. And we've managed to really have an extremely good retention rate. So that helps a lot because people really get to know your portfolio and it really makes a big difference in the hospitality experience, in what they do and their knowledge. So that has been our approach. But our key focus is also balance. In our industry, everybody focuses on, okay, is it vendors or is it employees? I think that's the wrong question because either one can work perfectly. You can be 100% vendor, 100% employees, and they both can work. But to me, the key question is offshore, onshore, not vendor employee, because 100% onshore, you're going to have a tough time making a profit, or you're going to have to charge your owners so many markups that you're going to eventually have problems with your owners. So we have really created a really nice group offshore. And part of that group is in the Philippines and part of that group is in Colombia. And in the Philippines, we have the guest experience people. And in Colombia, we have accounting and finance.
Wow. Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And that has worked really well for us. It helps us manage our payroll, but it also allows us to be able to pay really competitive salaries in the States to the people that we want to retain.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. You hire offshore so that you don't pay your people in the States money? No, for us, it's the opposite.
You pay the people that are here more. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Exactly. Interesting.
I appreciate you saying that because I think that gets lost in the equation sometimes. People get, it starts to become very political. Like, how could you do that? Or why didn't you hire people locally? And I'm trying to find a balance so I can pay people the living wage that they deserve. And that's a very fair point to bring up.
And think about it too. If you're not creating that balance, you go out of business.
And your people won't stay anyway.
How does that help? You can't hire anybody if you're out of business.
That's true.
Yeah, exactly. Now, do you have somebody that oversees those teams or how is that actually managed?
Yes, that's one bit of a challenge when so many people are remote. You sometimes wonder, are they working 100% of the time, 50% of the time? So that's a bit of a challenge. And we're working through that to see how we can control that a little bit better. But yeah, we do have I also have actually an HR specialist that works in Colombia. And she's been fantastic because I grew up in Colombia. We went to the same high school, American high school. So she has the American culture. She works for US multinational. And basically she moonlights with us because we don't need full-time HR. We can get 5 hours a week, 7 hours a week, that's golden. But companies our size never think about HR, but it's so important. There's so many details to protect the company, to do the right thing by the employee, to interview the right way, right? So we look at her and we always defer to her and ask her for advice. And it's been great. And that's what we've been doing in the last year and a half is creating a stronger structure, creating clearer and more defined roles. And the other thing about employees, by the way, which I think is important mentioning, I don't know how many people you run into that have this. We're a family company. So daughter and my two sons work with us. And that's a lot of fun. It creates some challenges, but it also creates some really wonderful. Yeah. And my wife also helps out very frequently in decorating and listening to all the stories. Okay, enough. and then giving her unbiased opinion. But it's really nice because when you're having fun and you're having fun with your family, the plan is not the exit plan like it is for a lot of people.
We love
The journey is the destination.
Yeah,
that's a great point. And also, I think you had an interesting point about HR, and I think you're spot on. Most companies in our industry really don't think about that early on, or even as they're moving along, and it's just, it's really not done well internally. You might have somebody that is technically the bookkeeper or the owner that is overseeing those things. And that's really not that's not the proper way to do it. As you said, to do the best by your employees, it should be somebody that is outside of things a little bit, that there's that protection that employees can go to them and talk openly. But I know Sue Jones is one, a good friend of ours, that has HR for VR, that she specializes specifically in HR for vacation rental companies. And a lot of companies use her because sometimes it's not worth having a full-time employee, but it's worth doing it right and making sure that you're protecting your company and the people. But
I'll have to remember that. I may want to talk to her at some point.
Oh, yeah.
She's a wealth of information.
Yeah.
She's absolutely amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Andy, one of the things that we ask a lot of the people that we have on is, there's a lot of talk around the industry of all the things that are so important. We talked about advocacy. We talked about the importance of culture and staffing. But what do you think is something that maybe we're not talking about that we should be, or something we need to be highlighting that maybe we're not doing to the best level that we could be?
Yeah, we talked about some of the elements that we've talked about here. I don't think are really commented a lot. Everybody talks about guest experience. I don't know many people talk about employee experience. We're a vacation rental business. What vacations are we giving our employees, I ask? Are we giving them the 2 weeks is too weak vacation strategy? It's as an industry that's in the epicenter of leisure, we should live and we should breathe leisure. And we understand that not only is it good practice, not only can it be good for business, not only can it be good for creativity. When people leave, they come back, they're regenerated. Neuroscience has abundant evidence to point that out, that when people are rested, they do better, they make less mistakes. So we're really big on adding benefits. We have a four-day work week, not a four-hour work week.
Are you hiring? I'm right there.
And I believe the thing should be earned. So it's not instantaneous. You stay 5 years. After 5 years, four-day work week.
Wow. Nice. That's interesting. Yeah, I like that.
Second year, you get 3 weeks. Third year, you get 4 weeks.
Yeah.
After 5 years, you can also get a little sabbatical. I believe it's 1 month.
Hmm.
We have full benefits. We have, you know, there's the 401k. My notion and my vision is 401k. Yeah. Again, what business are we in? Homes, right? How about a home 401k? In other words, how can we help people become homeowners?
Yeah.
Oh, I love
their
that.
Their own property.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
How can we empower our team to want to have their own short-term rental somewhere?
Right. Oh, that's so cool. I haven't heard
of Andy, I'm just in love with your company.
I know, right?
This speaks to me on some levels. Yeah. I love that.
I think those are the things that really excite me and that I would like to hear people talking.
Yeah. I think it's a great idea. I mean, 401ks, everyone has them, but is that really if you had to go choose where you were going to put your money, is that where you would put it? Probably not. I mean,
right. Not these days.
Yeah. You know, so we should be talking about that more, and whether it's our industry or just in general, I don't think that it really is probably talked about enough in different ways. And that's a great employee retention and employee acquisition strategy too, for you to be able to bring people on, to show that you really do have a program, that there is something very different about what you offer than somebody down the street. And that's why they would want to come work there. So I think that's interesting. And actually, I will use this as a little bit of a precursor, that you're going to be on a panel with me that I'm moderating in Orlando at Verma International this fall. And actually, the topic that I submitted, it was, can loop that into it. It talked about how collaboration, culture, and creative design come together to form a brand. And I think that that's part of it. Like, that is definitely the culture and the things that you're offering your employees. That is very much a big part of your brand. So that's, you'll be
a hit
speaker. Yeah.
That's going to be fun. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I think our industry is really in very early stages.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
I think that people are, again, the fear mode is a little bit on because revenues are down. Of course, they had to come down after the COVID. No, if you were there 2 years before you saw, you're like, let's see, we know this is not going to last. But the reality is the corporate sector is moving big time. Thanks to COVID, it's now kosher for companies to send their employees on short-term rental. Whereas before, it was almost, ooh, you want to do that? Let me tell you, you're going to pay for it on your own. That was the kind of answer people got before. So demand is going to continue to grow. And the bad supply is that's the one that's getting taken out. And that's the one that's really getting hurt. So when I look at our results, we, of course, our growth is slow, but we're growing despite the revenues being down for our competitors. And not that our ADRs have also come down, but with good price management tools, with good hospitality, you can still get good revenue results and outperform the competition. I think that one of the other things is by having a good culture, you have a really powerful hiring tool. Because we're in a good position where people are finding us as opposed to us having to go and look for people. And this in an environment that's still highly, highly competitive for people. So it's counterintuitive, but I think good practices. And the other thing too is that when you're independent, and that's huge, when you're a family-owned company, you are autonomous, self-long. Yeah. You are running it, not an investor that says, worth a dividend check at the end of the quarter. No, I don't want to hear about a good bonus for anyone. And I want my dividend check. I cannot be profitable 1 month. It's okay because I know I have a thriving real estate business that can cover a loss for a month, but somebody out there, an investor, might not like that. Okay. So I think we have the luxury of being able to think medium and long term as opposed to the end of the quarter. But not to say that numbers aren't important. We do. We watch them like a hawk. And where we've been investing a lot has been in accounting and in getting all the details and getting all the budgets. And the one person that I listen to, even though I've never had a conversation with him about selling or buying, the one person I listen to is Steve Milo. I listen and I write down every word he says. And even though I run my business for the family and to suit our lifestyle, I really pay attention to all the metrics that are important because those things are also important to stay alive and to thrive and to do well and to do all the things that I want to do for my family and my employees. So like a yin and a yang,
absolutely. All that together. And you're spot on. And a lot of companies go through that phase of, okay, do we want to take on funding? Do we want to pursue this? It's going to enable us to get where we want to go faster and probably more efficiently if we take on the funding, but then we lose control of what that trajectory really looks like. And I think it's better to have that control if looking at what your goals are. And certainly for you, that makes sense for sure. But Andy, this has been just a pleasure and enlightening to learn more about your business. I knew when I heard you speak on stage at IMN, I was like, he's super interesting. And I didn't really know a whole lot about your company or you to that point. And so I'm really glad that we had the opportunity to chat today. And this is actually a good little warm up for the panel that we'll be on too.
Thanks. Yeah, I really enjoyed our conversation. Yeah, learned a lot also.
That's good.
Yeah, something interesting. Orlando, here's my plan. I actually plan to get there by train.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Now,
for what reason?
Train service just opened up from Miami to Orlando.
Oh, that's right.
Okay.
Oh, very cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Andy, like we established, you've got people that are searching you out. But for those that don't know where to find you, what's the best way for them to actually reach out to you to connect?
Sure. Two things. We have our website, which is www.newmanhospitality.com. Right. And our phone number, you can always call us. It's 954-488-2659.
All right. And you're on LinkedIn too. So we'll be sure to include your profile link in the show notes. And of course, there's that website and phone number in case anybody missed it. But if anyone needs to get in or wants to get in touch with Annie and I, you can go to alexandanniepodcast.com. And until next time, thanks for tuning in, everybody.